Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Good afternoon and welcome to your drive time show that is Home Run with Helmut on Eagle FM. I'm here until the hour of 6. So if it's your drive time show, so just don't focus on the call, you know, don't focus on the whole calling in. I'm away. Sometimes it's very easy to sit in this room, air-conditioned though it may be. Oh, it is air-conditioned. Air-conditioned though it may be, it's very easy to, you know, to start feeling like you are talking to yourself until you go out there and walk into someone's office to ask for stuff like, I like your show. I'm like, so you people are listening this whole time and you're not calling in. I saw someone pointed that out to me that, calling in feels like I'm interrupting the flow. So I just want to go along with it. And also more often when I'm listening, and of course this is someone that's talking from a personal capacity. When I'm listening, I have my hands full, maybe doing something instead of driving or just doing something at home. Like, interesting. So now that I'm famous, the only part I have to work on is not being broke so that I can be rich and famous. Right now I'm just broke. And not as famous as iSpeed, that's for sure, but just my home run level. Now, today is one of my favorite subject, actually, to be honest, because there is nothing I really like. Actually, I like a lot of things, believe me. That moment of silence was for Karen, so I don't get fired before Friday, you know, or ever. I've seen Namibia's unemployment statistics, no taking chances. Now, here's the thing. Today we're going to talk about the global... Hang on a second. Let me just make sure that I'm not putting words in people's mouths. Because this is going to be more about cooking. That's... Now, for those of you that are not aware of what cooking is, that's a comedian way of saying, I'm going to make fun of a lot of people. Because there are only two ways that we can talk about the global risk report 2026. There are only two ways. It's either we talk about it in a way that we, you know, just cry and sober and, you know, self-loathe. But we're not going to do that because, well, that's a waste of, of heart muscles and blood vessels. Because most of the chaos that brought about the projection found in this report, we didn't benefit from it. Why should we be angry? So, which is why, fasten a seatbelt. This is going to sound a little bit more mind the gap-ish because I'm not about to cry for some, bleak economic projection that I didn't contribute to. So, it's either we cry about it or laugh about it. And when it comes to picking one of those options, as a comedian, you already know which one I'm going to pick without even thinking. The laughing part. Every responsible parent or every rational human being will tell you that, put this in a form of a story. I go to church. I went to church this other time and, it was just a very nice event. And, there's a kid now on the other hand who was just running around and the parents, the mother, this is why when we are preparing for, for the main sermon of the day. Now, if you are a Seventh-day Adventist, you're going to understand that better. Or if you're familiar with the Saturday routine of the Seventh-day Adventist. Now, before the main sermon, now you're obviously required to, restrain your kids because, you have to listen to the word of the big guy upstairs. Now, here's what happened. All the parents restrain their kids, and then the mother, just restrains this kid, and then that kid starts kissing more than Lil Wayne in, what song was that? Oh boy. Let's just stop the story then. Now, here's the thing. This is not me making fun of my denomination, because everyone knows that, in the very same way that every individual have their own, flaws, every denomination has their own quirks, and I think it's safe to say we're still figuring stuff out. Like all of us, you know, Christians and Muslims alike, if you ask me. Now, why am I using that as an example? Raising a child is important. Raising a child is important. And why is important is because it's, you know, it's either you punish them in the house, or you are going to be punished by the police when they will call you to take bail money to a holding cell. One of these is bound to happen. It's either you take care of it at home, or it's, it's going to get ugly. Because today it's Cremora, then guess what? Then they move to, they go to the hostel, they start stealing pens and pencils, and then they start, guess where they're headed to? They're robbing banks, and then they get shot in the head. Like, it's a progression. It's a story of progression. Now, just putting all that aside, all that rant is to show that the bleak economic projections that we find in the, in the World Economic Forum Global Risk Analysis or Global Risk Report, this is something that we should have seen. Actually, we saw it coming. We were just too broke to stop it, because the guys that were committing most of the, that were gambling, let's just use the word gambling, that were, that made the financial gamble in terms of investments and financial decision making, that led with us in this situation global, economically, by and large, not solely, but by and large, it was a parenting issue. A lot of developed countries have a problem. A lot of developed countries' governments have a problem controlling their multinationals. They have a problem doing that. And you can actually understand, because they are multinational. So that means not only do they have an army or armies of lawyers, they have so much money. They have so much money. They are funding elections. When they fund elections, that means whoever's election is funded when they find themselves in public office, they are going to treat that's basically the finger that feeds them. They are not going to, or they feed that finger them. That didn't come out well. But bottom line is, this is one of those biggest flaws about democracy we don't talk about a lot. Thanks to the Athenians came up with the whole idea of democracy, but it was still too rigid. So the French takes it, and then the French did what they did back in back in the 1700s. Oh, the French can protest. If you are ever asked in a pop quiz which country citizens are very good at protesting, you can never go wrong with the French. Now, those guys are very good, because more often their protest ends up with them, separating the king's or the queen's body from, from the head, or the head from the body. There was just one time that the Dutch beat them to it when they cooked and ate their prime minister. They chopped and basically, capana their own prime minister. Bottom line is, a lot of multinationals, the lack of restraint, the lack of regulation in a way that they conduct their businesses, not just in their home countries, but across the world, is why we ended up with the 2008 financial crisis. The 2008 financial crisis was largely based on a booming house market. Now, this house market was over-gambled with, and they started giving people, mortgages that did not have, the financial capabilities to basically service the debt that came with that mortgage. And you know what happened? 2008 financial crisis. Now, I'm just going to go a little bit in the report, and then I come back to point out why I think this is a parenting issue. We are here with all this global economic, report that's not looking very good for like 5, 10 to maybe 15 years. Ahead. Actually, 2 to 10 years ahead, according to the projections. The reason behind that is a lot of regulators in a lot of developed countries, especially Western countries, they have allowed a lot of their multinational companies, the big companies, to run the country instead of the other way around. I have a few examples, but first, the report now, shall we? You know, one thing that pisses me off is this report was compiled by the World Economic Forum. The World Economic Forum is a club of the rich, the creme de la creme, to borrow the matriarch's language, when it comes to affairs of international economics, like international large-scale economic activities. These are the guys that gathered, and they compiled a report, if you ask me, of a problem they most likely contributed to largely. And now we are going, oh, well, my God, what are we going to do? We are only doing this because now there is competition. And that competition is China. And we all listened to the speech that the, you know, that the Canadian Prime Minister gave. He pointed out for 80 years, a lot of Western countries that were in good books with the US hegemony, they saw what was going on, that they, you know, the, international law was not as international as it was advertised. But because they were on the benefiting side, they didn't see anything wrong with it. But now that they are on the receiving end, thanks to Greenland and Trump in office, you'll have to thank Trump, because he's unraveling a lot of things. Now all of a sudden, oh my God, we need to come together. With who?
Why pay more when you can pay less at USAVE stores? 4 kilograms of real good frozen mixed chicken portions for only 199.99 Namibian dollars. 10 kilograms of champion super maize meal, only 104.99 Namibian dollars. Wellington tomato sauce, just 25.99 Namibian dollars. And pay 194.99 Namibian dollars for 1 liter Bonita long life milk. USAVE, where good food costs less.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Welcome back. Now, where was I? Yeah, now that, it's beginning to disadvantage you, now that you have lost your privileges from that system, all of a sudden, oh my God, this is terrible. Mind you, you have only experienced it for like less than a year. There are countries that have been living with that system for 80 plus years. Did you point at it? Did you point it out? No. Now, back to the report. Now, according to the this is stating the obvious, but let's just call it a report. Global Risk Report 2026. The Global Risk Report 2026 marks the second half of a turbulent decade. The report analyzes global risks to help support decision makers in balancing current crises and longer term priorities. Do they? I would argue they don't, because just hear me out. I would argue they don't, because supporting decision makers, aka this is decision makers both in policy and in economics, legislation for both political as in domestic domestic and diplomatic relations, and financial financial regulations. Here's the thing. If you ask me, the lack of regulations is why we are here. Again, back to the flaw of democracy. We came up with the separation of power. Don't let power be concentrated in the hands of one person, because, well, people have a tendency of becoming dictators. And we have historical records for that. And they were called monarchs. Those guys were lying to people through their teeth. God just gave the power to rule this whole country from here to where we are fighting the wars. The wars, by the way, that only your kids have to go and die for, but mine will have to be here to guard the throne and make sure that they are always in, you know, in living the affluent lifestyle. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. We came up with that. Now, we realized that monarchs were just lying at this point. God didn't give them power to rule over no realm. They were just being stingy with power. Which is why they started, well, you know, impregnating each other's uncles, aunties, cousins, you name it. That's actually not a joke. I wish it was, but it's not. It's not. The Roman Emperor Claudius literally married his niece. Not niece, like the part of his legs. No, he was, that would not have been funny. But the point is, he married his niece. Now, the niece at this point you'd think is a victim. Maybe at some point she was the victim. But, she wasn't a kid, by the way. She was a grown woman, had her own child. The guy's name may sound familiar. Nero. Now, this woman liked this power so much, she decided to poison her with a mushroom, according to history, with a mushroom, she decided to poison her husband slash uncle, she decided to poison her uncle turned husband. Yeah, boy. So that when he's dead, the son can take over power. And she was successful. Poisoned the poor Claudius as soon as he kicked the bucket and was like, now that my son is too young, I will just painfully take over the responsibility of ruling over this, this empire until my child, my son, who is, everything power was mostly for boys back then. Only my son, when he's grown up enough, then he will take over power. Oh boy. Son grew up and took over power. And the thing is, power is too sweet, Moss. So the mother, kept interfering in the son's way of ruling. And the son was like, I want to rule this kingdom myself. This empire by myself. I don't want mom to keep interrupting my decisions. I'm the boss here. I'm the emperor, isn't it? Looked at his advisors and went like, I'm the emperor, right? Actually, Nero didn't ask, he just told people. And if you disagreed with him, he separated your head from your body. And life moved on. Yeah, because in 64 AD, he admired a very beautiful piece of real estate, but then there were a lot of houses there, so he figured out a small accident, set the whole thing in fire. When everyone was crying, oh my god, what caused this fire? Suspect number one was the emperor. And then, the suspicion were basically confirmed, or more like cemented, when he cleared the whole land after the fire was put off, and then he decided to build his luxury mansion. What about the victims, you ask? Yeah, what about the victims? Indeed, according to Nero. Now, you have stories like that. And worse, in the history of power. Like, be careful of how you go against people that are in power, because believe me, they will stop it nothing. Because I read books and watch documentaries of, niece or more like and uncles marrying each other in the name of power, and then the niece poisoning husband slash uncle in the name of power to put the son on the throne, and the son gets on the throne, she doesn't want the interruptions, or the son doesn't want interruptions from the mother. So usually you just take your mom to an elderly home, right? That's not Nero. He just hired a bunch of assassins to kill the mother. Now, that's how much a lot of people like power. So believe me, politicians that are just lying to you, they like power, but they don't like power as much. Monarchs loved power like crazy. So, coming back from digression, coming back from that digression, it's that, and these guys were ruling forever. Because, after all, they were divine ordained. That's what they lied. They told that lie for like a gazillion years. So democracy comes along, and then we figure out that, actually power is very toxic. Whether it's an individual that has too much power or an organization that has too much power. Power is just toxic in its concentrated form. So we decide, you know what, instead of putting all the power in the executive branch, aka the monarch, we're just going to split. We're going to take the power to make laws, we give that one to the legislative guys. And then the power to, you know, to apply those laws, aka in practice, as in courts, we will give that power to the, you know, to the judiciary. We'll make sure that the judiciary cannot make laws. Judicial precedence is one of those pain in the eyes of every law student when it comes to the whole thing of the judiciary not making law, but not making laws. But the legislative makes the laws. They just make them. You know, actually, they don't make them. They debate them. Once they decide, okay, you know what, this now must be made into a law, they take it to the president to put on a signature. Now that, then it becomes a law. It's still a bill when they are just debating on it. Like our, you know, cybersecurity, access to information. When I keep quiet, there's a lot of crane involved. Now, so you have this very, somewhat, there's a little bit, you know, there are a few gray areas in the, you know, in the middle, but, there's, other than that, it's somewhat of a clear cut between, what the legislative guys are, have mandated to do, what the executive branch is mandated to do, and what the judiciary is mandated. Now, we split that because actually the French sort of like spread everything. The Greeks came up with the whole thing, the French and the Dutch and the colonial guys just spread everything. The reason behind the split is because we understood power in its concentrated form is toxic. Lord Acton, power corrupts, but absolute power corrupts even worse. If you have a fancy car, borrow it to your friend. Watch his walk change. Why? Power, Baba. Power. No, but money will not change me, or really. I don't know about you, but one thing I know is that money changes me each and every month end. Every month end, the food in my house stops tasting sweet. Then all of a sudden, restaurant. Only when I'm broke, all of a sudden, the food in my kitchen is delicious. There you go. Money have changed you. Not permanently, not for an extended period of time, but more like periodically. Now, well, jokes aside, actually, me saying jokes aside, that would be the biggest joke. But now, we somehow, for some reason, think that power in the political sphere must be maintained and it must be split and well regulated to make sure that it's not abused. But for some reason, I swear, like, this is the dumbest thing that the Western world and countries with Western influence have made. We thought that the only people that can abuse power are politicians. But economists and executives running multinational corporations cannot abuse power. And that is the worst mistake we have ever made. And we ended up here. Where did we end up? Oh, let me just go back to that report. Where we are right now, Saidiya Zahidi, the World Economic Forum managing director, who said, according to the report, 50% of the leaders and experts who anticipated, who participated in the survey, it's a fancy way of saying they made their professional predictions that are not very good looking in terms of global economy. Because according to their prediction, expert type of economic forecast, that either a turbulent or a stormy outlook over the next 2 years, they are predicting things are not going to look very good. Predictions are showing that over the next 2 years, things are not going to look good. And you would be like, I mean, 2 years. You can just do 2 years. Oh, the report goes on. And it will be, you know, it will be rising to up to 57% over the next 10 years. Only 1% of experts actually said, you know what, there's light at the end of the tunnel. A large number of experts are saying there are a lot of risks involved economically. The beautiful thing is this report did not come out solo. The report is actually supported by another report. And that's another report also. Another report also coming out of the World Economic Forum, and that's the Global Cooperation Barometer 2026. If you are following what was going on in Davos, then you know that there was not a lot of cooperation going on there. Donald Trump invited the prime, invited Canada to his board of peace. And after the Canadian Prime Minister's speech, basically, firing shots to the American hegemonic way of doing things, then Trump was like, on second thought. Before that speech, I wanted to invite you, but now, I don't know. I'm not feeling the spark anymore. I'm not feeling the vibe. So you are not invited. So that doesn't sound very much like cooperation to me. Does not. And one of the reasons behind the U.S. activities in Venezuela, it's because, forget the drugs. They just, that's why they brought up the whole Monroe Doctrine thing. They did not like Russia a little bit, but mostly China's presence in South America. They didn't like that part. In other words, for some reason, there's some interesting psychology behind this. Bullies are very insecure. In other words, they are easily threatened. I mean, if you have all the muscles, you'd think you'd be like, yeah, nah. I mean, what's he gonna do? And it turns out, no. That's not the case. That's actually very interesting. Now, the risk 2026 global risk report. Now, going back to that. I really like what the World Economic Forum's managing director said. They say a part where she's just pointing out some of the most obvious. Here we go. Things that could not have been more obvious, if you ask me. Because, again, everyone that has been following geopolitical events for a very long time. That was my favorite part, which is why I added it on the poster. Yes. We are witnessing the turmoil caused by kinetic wars. I think even before this event took place, I would have written a whole list of countries that were already at war. Yeah. I know a lot of Westerners just want to think, my God, Ukraine is on fire. Iraq was bombed the heck out of in 2003. And that's the invasion of the US invasion of Iraq that a lot of people only like to emphasize. If you just go online and start, and look up Operation Desert Storm, which was also started under false pretense of a 16-year-old girl called Naira, which is why, just look up the Naira testimony, you will see how, a war was started on fake pretense, and the same thing was done in 2003, and we saw again the same thing the 3rd of January this year, war under false pretense. Now, we are witnessing the turmoil caused by kinetic wars, the deployment of economic weapons for strategic advantage. This may be news to countries like Namibia, maybe, but Cuba? Cuba has been under, sanction, embargo, whatever you want to call it, for what, over 50 years now? That's half a century. So there are a lot of countries that will just read that and go like, oh, that is new. So you must be new here. Well, we've been here for, we've been here for a while. The weaponization of the global economy. The weaponization of the economy from a lot of big countries. Again, not something new. For a lot of countries, they will tell you, we've been there, done that. Tell us something new. Look, it's a very nice report, but they were very good at pointing at things that a lot of countries would go, yeah, I know, but that's not new now, is it? Since the 1970s, Iran has been under sanctions. Their mistakes started in 1953 when they nationalized their own, resources. And then, the guys with the big military and economic power didn't like it. So they toppled the leader and then installed in their own puppet who was in office for 20 plus years. And after the people got angry and they kicked the guy out of office, like, well, since we don't have our favorite guy in the office anymore, we are going to sanction you. So when you look at countries that have been under sanction for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, they will tell you, the weaponization of the economic weaponization is not something that's new to us. It's something that's my favorite part about this is Greenland. Oh boy! On second thought, I really, 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 really appreciate Americans for voting Trump. Because the decisions he's making is unveiling a lot of emotions, actually, responses to those, a lot of Western countries, especially Western Europe, have sided with the U.S. through anything. Including the bombing of Libya back in 2011. They didn't have much of a problem with that, did they? Tony Blair at least apologized. And that's not something to say at least. People literally died. Now, now that he's saying, okay, you know what, I think I bombed Libya, Afghanistan, and pretty much every stan you can name. And Iraq and Iran, Yemen. Oh, throw Yemen in there. Lebanon. So now I feel like taking, even if I have to bomb, Greenland. And then they're all like, hey! I thought we agreed that you can just, you can do it, but only to others, not us, right? And Trump is like, nope, I'm going to do it to you. I'm like, in that case, then you are a bad guy. But I've been bad the whole time. You were good when you are not bombing us. But now that you are talking about bombing us, well, you are bad. That's the situation we are dealing with. It's very childish. But then again, don't bite the finger that feeds you. I totally understand the whole don't bite the finger thing. So, we're witnessing the turmoil caused by kinetic wars, deployment of economic weapons for strategic advantage, and growing fragmentation across societies. Now, and as this here and now risks unfold, these risks are not unfolding now. They're unfolding to those that did not see anything wrong with America's hegemony until it started biting them. To them, it's unfolding now. To countries like Iran and Cuba, this had been unfolding for decades, literally. So, one of the reasons why I'm not a huge fan of this analysis is that, we are only going to start talking about a problem when it's impacting you. When I'm the only one being impacted and I'm asking you for help, you are turning a blind eye because you don't want to lose your benefits that's coming with you picking that side. Welcome to the world of geopolitics. It's a very, 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 very nice place to be. It's an awesome one. Now, the deployment of economic weapons for strategic advantage and growing fragmentation across societies, and as this here and now risks unfold, really? This is not a here and now thing. Of course, it depends on who you are. For you, it's here and now. But for countries like North Korea, they'll be like, oh no, we've been here for a while now. As you can imagine. According to the PR we were fed for a very long time, we're told, well, Kim Jong-un is the crazy one. Well, is he though? He didn't want to be bullied, so he decided to get himself nukes. You know what? It works! No one bullies him. Works like a champ. South Africa gave up their nukes. Ukraine, by the way, also gave up their nukes. How's that going? So, when you look at it from that angle, you totally understand why Kim Jong-un is really smart. It's like, in this world, the Canadian Prime Minister also pointed that out. If you can't defend or feed yourself, you don't have a lot of options in the world of geopolitics. Unfortunately, no, you don't. It's not a very good reality that a lot of countries like to face. Enemy to none and friend to all. But don't get me wrong, I love my country. I really do love my country. I like the fact that we have the level type of economic and political stability that enables me to sit here this time of the day and start rambling about all these things. Because there are a lot of countries that are mired in wars. They don't have that luxury. So I appreciate that. But the fact still remains. For small countries, unless you have very strong allies, you don't have a lot of options. Which is why alliedship now comes in very handy. Now, and then they move on to point out that, as this here and now risks unfold, longer term challenges from technological acceleration to environmental decline continue to create knock-on effects across the system. The US also withdrew from the world, World Health Organization. And I like how mainstream media was quick to point out that they have lost their biggest donor. What? There then is the problem. So, what have most of you participants been doing to this organization this whole time? You were just there warming benches and eating your taxpayers' money every year. We are going to attend the World Economic Forum. We are going to the United Nations Annual General Assembly meeting. What the heck are you doing there? I don't know, we're just warming chairs. How much are you contributing per year? None, but you want global peace and security. Yeah, but global peace and security costs money. Well, in that case, then what do you want? Yeah, I don't know. Well, in that case, then figure it out. Geopolitics is awesome, guys. I really like, my favorite part about geopolitics is reading through reports that outlines mistakes made people that are not only rich, but also educated and old. I know people don't like to hear that a lot. You're growing. Oh, yeah, that's a... Who is this? Jordan Peterson, the Canadian psychologist, pointed out that if you are scared of taking risks, let me... not a risk of robbing a bank. You'll get shot in the head and then you'll not enjoy the fruits of your labor. Taking risks as in chasing your dreams, crazy though they may sound. stay with me here. Jordan Peterson makes a very awesome point that you can either be afraid of taking risk now, or you will find out when you are in your 70s and you did not and realize that not only have you not taken any risk with regards to chasing your passion, your dreams, or your career, or your or things you like, because you were scared. Except now, not only are you scared, but also even if you wanted to, you don't have time. And also, you don't have a back that supports taking much of the risks because, well, the second law of thermodynamics, guys. So, in other words, enjoy the energy right now because, well, we are all headed to the point, which is why I like to tell Africans, you know, that whole nonsense of everyone with gray hair is a witch. That's actually the dumbest thing you can say. Because let me tell you, in 20, 30, 40 years, guess who has gray hair? You are the one with gray hair. Now, I have a follow-up guess of that one. Guess who's gonna be witch then? In other words, if you think everyone with gray hair is a witch, you are the witch in the making. Because by the time that, no wonder people like, all these wigs and goblet these days, because they don't want to be called witches, because they spend their entire childhood calling everyone with gray hair a witch. Now that they have gray hair, they are covering it with Brazilian hair because they don't want to be called a witch. Oh yeah, take it off. Let's call you a witch. Let's find out now how you feel. Call it karma. So. It's called aging. It's natural. Actually, that's that white hair is wisdom. Just sit with them and listen. The rational ones, it turns out there are people that just physically grow, but mentally, mentally they are growing in reverse, Baba. Ah, yeah. So, fine. I mean, it's okay. You can just go ahead and call everyone with gray hair witch. All I'm saying is, it's just a matter of time before you join the witch WhatsApp group. Because you just look yourself in the mirror one day and see that, gray hair. That means witchcraft loading. And then you get to that point where you are now witchcraft pro max, where the whole head is white. And then you'll bury everything in goblet or just cover it up with a wig because you don't want to be called a witch because you spent your whole childhood calling everyone with gray hair a witch. Now that you are, well, you have joined the group, you are embarrassed. Why? Yeah, just be proud of your witchcraft, Baba. You know, just embrace it. Embrace your juju. You're welcome. Aren't I just very supportive? Which is why you should, market with Eagle FM. We are very supportive here. So, back to, the obvious of me pointing out the reports of mistakes that were basically made by people that should be old enough to would have known from day one that this is what it's going to lead to. Oh, boy. Yeah. The first section of the report shares this and other results from the latest annual Global Risk Perception Survey. Which this year brought together the views of over 1,300 global leaders, experts across academia, business, government, international organizations, civil society. Are they experts though? This is why, look, like many Africans, I had a lot of faith in educated people, and I mean academically. I had a lot of faith in educated people. There's just one problem that now I'm being proven wrong. You can be educated and still be an idiot. It turns out. You can be educated and be corrupt. It turns out. Cough, cough, fish rot. You can be educated. You can have, you can have an advanced degree in law, mathematics, and economics and still be a thief. Mozambique's finance minister is an economic expert. He's one of the suspects in the tuna bond scandal. One of the suspects in our own Fisher Road case here at home is one of the smartest lawyer I ever know. I know. A very brilliant lawyer found himself, attorney general and the minister of justice. Then, bam, iPhones with two SIM card. And I'm like, oh man, seriously. Yeah. But look, I think it's just society's perception. The biggest mistake that society makes is of thinking that someone who is a thief, for example, this is just an example. It's just an example. I don't have bodyguards. Someone who is thieves are just a bunch of dumb people. No, actually, it's quite the contrary. You can't be dumb and be a thief. You're gonna get killed in less than a day. You're gonna have to be really smart to be a thief. Now, if thieves are dumb, then we must be even dumber. How many of us have fallen for scams? A lot. So, see? The biggest mistake you can make is assuming that everyone that does something illegal or immoral is dumb. No, they are not. They may have a twisted sense of morality, or what is legal and what is legal and illegal, but don't be fooled. They are smart. So my light blinking, not in live, that one is just, still perfectly fine. Thank heavens. The line is 0832888401. Now, I'm going to try my best to keep my eyes both on the report and on that light, because, the report is yum, yum, yum. Oh, un momento, s'il vous plaît. Un break. We go for a short break and we'll come back and we'll continue on the other side. Home Run with Helmut on Eagle FM. Should do that more often. Very professional. Then again, professionalism is boring.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yellow.
Oh, IT.
Uh-huh.
Me, I've got also white-headed. What is it again?
Oh, you're really? Still on the white hair, white hair witch.
I've got gray hair now.
Oh, gray hair.
You just reminded us on the issue of when you see somebody with gray hair.
Uh-huh.
It's like, it was also unusual, those years,
What was unusual?
I mean, to see somebody with gray hair.
Really?
But I know they are also there, but they are not. They were not seen as much as we do now. You understand?
No so, kidding.
But I don't know where that misconception or perception came from. That yes, when you see somebody with gray hair, you are like we do this hair like you see it like a wish.
It's paranoia.
And when you see that person, even the respect that you want to accord the person is of the special kind of nature. And then now, of course, you see them a lot, you see them a lot. That understanding is fading away.
Yeah.
So, but you see, like you said, they now cover themselves with those Brazilian hair.
TK, they're going to come for you.
You know, one of the pastors says, funny things. Every time when their hairs are so dirty and they are in confusion in there, they just put. And I tend to believe that thing, man.
That was the pastor who said that?
Oh, the pastor was preaching and cleanliness and hygienic and everything.
Man of God. Oh.
So now, and they say, fine, many of you people, instead of having your natural hair, which is so nice, and things of that nature, you cover your dirty things in your hair. But when you really look at they remove some of those things, you discover that there are some strange kind of look. You understand?
And strange kind of look. Like, TK, where are you headed with this?
Comedian. Sorry, man.
Yeah.
People are here laughing again when you are talking. They started laughing from the time when you were talking up to them.
Oh, the whole gray hair thing?
Yes. So, I think there is also a need for some awakening.
Yeah.
Because most of the women, they really just put on these things, even the hair is in confusion.
TK, that was just an example. Don't get me dumped.
Maybe I also be dumped, sir.
Let's not be single before Valentine's Day.
No, okay. No, we are just saying these are some of the things that are really... Maybe it's for you to understand when they say, now I want to go and buy my Brazilian hair.
Yeah.
And also maybe to do my pressing. Sometimes it's really not to... I don't know. Because me, honestly speaking, whenever somebody puts on that thing,
uh-huh.
It doesn't even make me look like the person is look more. Well, how do you say it?
So you are more. So you go for more like a natural look.
Natural look.
Okay.
That is because I've never seen it with my own thing before. Oh. So, but when they look like that, of course, maybe they are beautiful. They look they look. I don't know. You want to use the word meat.
Yeah, they look je ne sais quoi.
Maybe something like that. Yeah, I don't know that word. So, but honestly speaking, they don't, it's something that does not really give me an understanding or a sense of being decent. I mean, it's decent actually, maybe because they're clean, but for me, it doesn't move me anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like, but when they are natural,
mm-hmm.
and things like that, and you feel so comfort, you feel that, yes, this is a natural look, beauty is, black is beautiful. But why is it that only black women who put on this? Why not? I don't see white, even though their hair are already white and things like that, or black, some white, they have got black kind of hair. But why don't they put on that thing?
I think wigs are, yeah, okay. I'm not sure if they are as frequently used in comparison, but they are used by, wigs are used by all kinds of races. They are those who may have, short hair and they want to just put on like a temporary, like a long hair look.
I've been meeting your white counterparts, But I don't see them putting on this thing.
Well, some of them can be concealed in a very awesome way that you can barely tell.
Yeah. Because of the way the hair is already naturally looking like that.
Yeah, it's matching in some way, yeah.
Oh, maybe. Okay, so thank you very much. How have you been?
No, all good. Everything is fine here. Just me making fun of this, so-called experts at the Global Economic Forum. What's that? World Economic Forum.
Yeah, no, it's true. Like you said, yeah, sometimes it's not only those who engage in those unethical conduct, But there are also those who are highly educated and things like that. I think they know how to squeeze. Uh-huh. Have you been following this Hadio Committee in South Africa and those Madlanko inquiry? Oh,
yeah.
So they can tell you that most of these things, when they are more educated, they become more strategic in stealing.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
All right.
So thank you very much.
No problem.
So, before we continue, let's take a live read. No, that almost got murdered by, you know, almost got murdered by marketing. Quick break.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida, ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo, iho etike kovano hile koshuwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka, okukwetira oipindi konu kwa ndado inawa. Nune udo, otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka, opone ushendi fenawa, nukumona oijamo ili nawa, ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM, onora itatu imwe bali heali, nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumderewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafelane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually,
to put it mildly, an economic scandal. Let's take a live read. The University of Namibia informs students that online hostel registrations for 2026 opened on the 12th of January and will run until 27 February 2026. Only students who applied for residence and received official placement confirmation may register online. Access to hostel will not be granted without proof of residence registration. Students placed on a waiting list may be considered if spaces become available. For assistance, students are advised to contact their respective residence offices. You heard all that. And you're welcome. Now, back to the report. Now, the 2026 Global Risk Report came with another report. And that's also a report that came out of the World Economic Forum titled the Global Cooperation Barometer. In other words, they are just looking at, is the world cooperating more? Was it ever? Really? Was it? No. Now, the multipolarity is a word that you are going to hear being, we have been hearing being thrown around for a very long time now. Ever since China decided to become economic independent and militarily, and they can just, run their country and everything without, becoming a beggar. How dare they? Now, from there, we have been hearing, especially if you are, if you listen to, Tumie Shaima's reports, presentations, then you must have heard a lot about the word multipolarity. Now, that's the word that sort of like went underground for a while. Especially in since 1990, with the fall of the Soviet Union, 1989. Actually, from the 1970s to 1980s, the multipolarity idea was fading. Now, this is the idea of having more like two economic systems that that the world operates on, where you have capitalism on one side and they call it communism, socialism, on the other. And after the fall of the Soviet Union, the US basically became the boss at this point. They didn't have any competitor of the same caliber to basically say no. to what they were proposing. They didn't propose. Mm-mm. They were negotiating like Tura boys. Hear me with the right hand. And when you say no, then they tell you that, okay, hear me. Or else exile your stick with the left hand. Now, it was kind of tricky to say no. What you just have to do is you're not going to have to get along with it, or you're going to be labeled a terrorist, sanctions, the whole nine yards. It took less than a week. Actually, it took less than a month. Let's just be conservative. It took less than 2 weeks. What month? It took less than 2 weeks. For a lot of companies, in theory, a lot of Western companies, in theory, to get out of Russia after, you know, after February 24, 2022. That's when the war went full kaboom. A lot of companies were like, you know what, let's punish Russia. So let's just ban them from the football bodies and all these things. And all the companies that are trading with Russia, just get out of there and let them suffer. You know what those companies did? They just rebranded. They are still in Russia. They just changed brands. Why? Technicality is very powerful, people. Technicality. Just change the technicalities on paper and change the logo and then still in business. On paper, a lot of Western countries left Russia. In practical reality, they are still in Russia. There's actually a lot of reports on that. It's very funny how they changed their logos and names and everything, but same product. You can see it's an iPhone. Ah, what's wrong with you? So, again, something that's supposedly new, but at least this report now, the, you know, now the Global Cooperation Barometer 2026, at least this one admits that a bunch of things here are actually not new. Totally agreeing with, I really like it when I'm right. Now, as a new global era takes shape, multilateralism is under strain, has been under strain. Point of correction. You're welcome. You know what? There was a time when I was taking everything in this report like it's at face value. At face value. Nah. This right now we're just questioning authority, Baba. We just ask questions. Questions, see. We just ask them. Now, the world has seen continued fragmentation. As trade barriers have escalated, levels of mistrust have remained high. That's a good choice of words. And geopolitical tensions have been an ever-present overhang. Yes, conflicts have intensified across several regions and forced displacement reached record levels. In this sobering context, thank you very much for waking up. That's my just own addition. Now, the Global Cooperation Barometer measurement of overall cooperation has held steady. Now, while stress to the global cooperation system may be surprising to you, I will get to the point of why I'm saying to who, because surprising not to me. Again, I'll point out why it's not surprising to me. Now, while stress and the global cooperation system may not be surprising, may not be surprising, the resilience of overall cooperation may be. Now, although cooperation tied to a global multilateralism, which relies on common goals and actions often advanced through international institutions, all of which are also under strain, ask the World Health Organization. Ask the UN. They're really feeling the heat right now because of this whole global tension. Like, you can feel pity for, you can feel pity for the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres. It's like he's raising a bunch of delinquents. That's a father raising a bunch of delinquents. They're always bickering and fighting and all that, and he always have to be there to tell them to grow up. The dynamic often doubled in terms of multilateralism basically a shift from pluralism in a sense, and that's a way of saying that instead of just one guy running the show, let's bring in some competition, because it's to make sure that power is not abused. Like I pointed out earlier, absolute power is not good for any individual or any person. I don't care how holy you are, too much power will turn you into a monster. Too much power will turn you into a monster. What's one of the biggest cause of car accidents? Overspeeding. Most people that like overspeeding drive high-powered cars.
You can take the nicest driver, give them a V12, and watch them go nuts. You know, I think it's one of those things that I like about human nature. I think it's one of those things that pushes us to achieve our goals, because we like to push the limit of things. First of all, take one of my literally dream car, for example. Not just as in dream that one day, just literally dream car. Bugatti. And by the way, I like how companies work. VW Group, those guys are loaded. Because I'm not sure about any type, you know, other variants of the Bugatti, but one thing I know is that the 2015 Veyron, that's the 2015, yeah, 2015 or 2014 Veyron. Now, the thing is, that car was declared the fastest car at the time. And then Koenigsegg comes along, you know, the Swedish, you know, they just like competition. Now, where is all that power? Where did that power come from? It came from a V16 engine built by who? The Germans, of course, VW. And I think it's, they did, they've done the same thing for Lamborghinis is mostly Audi. You know, the Germans will just tell the Italian guys to go bananas with the cover and make sure that all the corners are, you know, all the corners are well, you know, well cut and well, polished for the external body. And then the inside, the Germans will like, yeah, no, don't worry. We'll take it from here. And they are, holy cow, very good at that. Take, all you just have to do is take the nicest driver, give them a fast car, and they will freak out and start driving like Vin Diesel does in the movie. Actually, Dominic Toretto. Vin Diesel doesn't drive like that. Dominic Toretto, the character in the movie, drives like a maniac. Actually, the character in the movie doesn't even drive. Watch behind the scenes of Fast and Furious and you'll be like, so my whole childhood was a lie. So, we at some point thought that it was a brilliant idea to separate political power but leave corporate power concentrated. And we are paying the price. And I'm talking about that on a global level. We are paying the price. Now, where is that? Now, why am I saying that? Oh, easy. Because when you, when a child keeps making mistakes and you just, you don't reprimand them, they are not going to stop. They will just keep making the same mistake because they know that you are not going to do anything. I watched a bunch of videos between, you know, African parenting and Western parenting. Notice, I didn't say white people parenting. I said Western parenting, because Eastern Europe parenting is very much African parenting and Asian parenting. Eastern Europe, Asia, Africa, they have the same parenting style of, they'll just tell you once, don't do it. And if you keep doing it, your human rights goes out through the window. Their human, literal human right hand starts holding a sandal, and it goes bananas on you. That type of parenting. Now, that whole parenting of, Jimmy, please don't break the TV. And Jimmy just, you know, goes, Jimmy's picking a hammer and he's walking his way all the way to the TV. And is like, Jimmy, please stop that. Please don't do it. I'm like, hey, you know, kids like that, huh? Let me just borrow, not the whole year. I mean, the kid is going to die. All you just have to do is just take that kid, leave that kid at my, you know, at my father's place for like just a couple of hours. Forget 1 week, just a couple of hours. That kid will just make one mistake, just one. When you pick that kid later in the evening, that'll be the well-behaved kid you've ever seen. It's called African parenting. You're welcome. Now, why am I say now? Why am I using this whole African parenting thing? It's because a lot of multinational companies, especially in Western countries, have been pampered. These guys are just moving from one scandal after another. Nestle was dominating headlines. Was that earlier this year? Because an NGO was is that an NGO in Switzerland? Nestle is Swiss, right? They found out that they were putting more sugar in one particular product that they were supplying. One of the product that they sell, Nestle is a food giant that they sell. This product is sold globally. But the same product that's supplied to the African and Asian market has more sugar content than the one that's supplied to the Western, to Western countries, for example. Why? Oh, easy. Countries like the EU countries are very strict about what they regulate their food very seriously. That's why their food brands that you find in the US that are not sold in the EU market, and if they are sold in the EU market, read the ingredients and you'll see a wildly very short list of ingredients for the European variant. And you have a paragraph of ingredients, most of which are synthetic for the American market. Because the EU is like we have a multi-billion dollar per year market. Just bring it over. We'll buy your product. But we're first going to have to find out just what's in that food. The reason why I pointed out earlier that this is largely a regulation issue. Is the following. Let's start with too big to fail. Too big to fail. Now, according to the information service, EBSCO or IBSCO, depending on which one you're going to go with, and this is something that is, how do I put this? This is, too big to fail. The term too big to fail, or like the phrase too big to fail, is coming out of the early 1900s. But what that means is too big to fail is a theory it's an economic concept that suggests certain banks and financial institutions are so integral to the economy of a particular country or region that their failure would lead to widespread financial devastation. Now, this theory, though it may be traced back to the early 1900s, was stated a lot during the 2008 financial crisis. Now, stating that even though some big companies were largely to blame for the crisis of the 2008 financial crisis, they were somewhat too important to be punished or too big or too important for the market, employment wise and tax contribution wise. They like avoiding tax a lot, but they are too important to basically be punished for the crimes they committed because of risky financial decisions, the financial investment decisions they made that compounded into the 2008 financial crisis. A lot of very big financial institutions. If you can find the documentary called It Was an Inside Job. It's based on how the financial crisis basically extended in. It's based on the 2008 financial crisis, but it narrows mostly on how it began and how it led to the economic devastation, specifically of one economy, and that was Iceland. You know, the same hairy guys, the one that brought the our own economic devastation here at the fish rot? Those guys.
So, the companies are too big to fail. Therefore, instead of punishing them for making, for a reasonable, for clearly on purpose, making one terrible financial decision after another to enrich themselves that led to a global financial catastrophe, instead of punishing them, just bail them out. Well, guess what? If they keep making intentional bad ideas financially, and instead of punishing them, you keep bailing them out, what happens? When your child is suspended at school, instead of shouting or yelling at your child, you go and yell at the teacher, guess what that child is going to do? That child will be suspended every 5 minutes. Because they know that when the father shows up, or the mother shows up, or the guardian shows up, they are not going to yell at them, because, you know, the kid is perfect, never makes mistakes. All the mistakes are made by that bad teacher who hates the child. That's how, congratulations, you are raising a future bank robber. You better have a bail money saving account, because that's what it's leading to. Now, this too big to fail mentality, these interventions, again, according to EBSCO, argues there is a noble, this bailout, it's a noble economic saving method to create significant, to significant economic challenges, because you are saving employment, you are saving your country's economy. It's a brilliant take on how to solve economic problems. Big companies now, large institutions, especially financial institutions, engage in risky behavior, knowing they are likely to receive government support if they fail. And EBSCO is right. Big companies keep making, dangerous investments that the consequences of which is going to impact everyone, especially, everyone negatively. The negative economic impact impacts everyone. But the positive economic impacts, when they make profits, it's only them that benefit from it. Now, before we get to the point of too big to fail and all bailouts, that's not the problem. Those are symptoms. Emanating from what? The lack of regulations. If you have the right regulations in place, they are not going to make dangerous economic investments. But if you have loose regulations, they are going to go wild. Hedge fund managers are the culprits in these things. Like these guys, as long as they're making profit, for them it's just... have you seen the TV show Billions? That's the mentality behind a lot of hedge fund institutions. As long as they're making billions, they don't care who is caught in the wrong hand of their decision, investment decision making. Again, they do that because their host countries allow them to. They don't have the right regulations in place to deter them from doing that. As a result, over an extended period of time, you are going to find yourself with 2008 financial crisis. You are going to find yourself with a global risk analysis report 2026. How did we get here? Really? You're shocked? I mean, I'm a comedian. I'm just by looking at a bunch of documentaries, I managed to figure out how we got here. If you are an expert and you are still going, I don't know how we got here, perhaps you shouldn't be in that office, because imagine your president being voted into office, and then his first, his or her first press conference is going, now, how do we run this country? You'd be like, are we sure we have the right guy in that office? Because, well, I don't know. Can someone assassinate that guy, please? I'm begging you. Actually, I'm crazy enough to ask that question. Can someone please go full Julius Caesar, Julius Caesar on that guy? Now, EBSCO. EBSCO actually is an information service provider. They work with libraries across the planet. They are just, they are very big information. They help with surveys and all that, you know, and all that stuff. And that's EBSCO is an abbreviation for Elton Bryson Stephanus Company. Just they took their names, came up with an abbreviation. I thought it was some very long English extended, very sophisticated name. Turns out they just used their names, which I think, I mean, it's a brilliant idea. Now, why am I saying this is a largely regulation problem? Now, mind you, this is the guys that are telling you, no, using, you know, putting AI in your fridge and your toilet so that you can control it via voice and a voice command is a brilliant idea. Now, these guys are so terrible at regulating something as something that's something like this. Imagine having a weekend of eating a very, very questionable capana, and then you end up with a diarrhea. And now your toilet requires you to use AI. Then you realize that, because of lack of regulation, someone have now hacked your toilet, and they are telling you that, if you don't want to, you know, polish your house in some questionable, decorations, you know, hippo style, if you're Kavango, you'll understand that better. You'll have to give us this amount of money. By the time that you'll punch in the password, well, your trouser is already looking very not nice. Forget the looks. The smell is, okay, wow. Now, the reason why I'm saying this is a hugely a regulation problem is because decades of you know, of lack of strict regulations of many multinational corporations have been should have been the writing on the wall. On the other side, let's take another live read. Call for the registration of unemployed engineers, surveyors, architects, planners, and heavy equipment operators. The road contractor company RCC invites unemployed qualified Namibians in the following fields to register and upload their documents. Their documentation on the RCC portal. Eligible fields of qualification/expertise. Civil engineers, mechanical engineers, electrical engineers, quantity surveyors, heavy equipment operators, land surveyors, architects, town and regional planners. And this call is strictly eligible to Namibian citizens who are unqualified, who are unemployed and possess the aforementioned qualifications and expertise. For inquiries, contact Ms. Lizette Kakumai, Human Capital Department, at 061-297-9000. 061-297-9000. I'll repeat that again. 061-297-9000. Or email lizette.kakumai@rcc.com.na. Closing date is 31 March 2026. Now, where was I? Lack of regulation, because we only have 2 minutes left. The lack of regulations that led to the 2008 financial crisis should have been the writing on the wall that every time that big companies make terrible decision, financial decisions, that impacts everyone and you keep forgiving them. Well, guess what they are not going to do? Stop. They're not going to stop. They will just keep doing it. And at the end of the day, it's going to lead to reports like this. I don't know why these guys were even shocked. So, now, I'm going to point out why decades of the lack of strict regulations for many multinationals would have been the writing on the wall for all these predictions in this report. Take Boeing as an example. In 2018 and 2019, between 2018 and 2019, this is just the 5 months, you know, 5 months difference between the two accidents where all passengers and crew died in 737 MAX jetliners made by Boeing went down less than 5 months apart. Lion Air of Indonesia. A flight that plunged into the ocean, into the sea at the coast of Indonesia, and the Ethiopian Airline, a flight that crashed into a field after taking off from Addis Ababa. All the investigations of the two accidents pointed to the manufacturing flaw that emanated from the government's lack of regulation of the company. It's a regulation problem. Now we are just talking about this. Why? Because there's a global competition level thanks to China. Okay, now we're going to talk about it. This is Canadian, I mean, this is Canada all over again. Well, when, you know, when the guy that is literally my neighbor was running around causing economic and military security issues, you know, chaos all over your countries, I didn't really care because, well, I was benefiting for 80 years. I was benefiting, and now that he's threatening to bomb my friends, all of a sudden, let's come together in one giant ecumenical hug. Ah, yeah. Congratulations. There are a lot of citizen shootings happening in the U.S. right now. And a lot of citizen American citizens, as you'd understand, they are not happy with him. And one Iraqi lady made a video on TikTok, was like, guys, that's a taste of your own medicine. That's what your soldiers... Actually, that's like a tiny, teensy bit of what your soldiers did to our country back in 2003. Congratulations. The roosters have come home to... The chickens or roosters have come home to do what? Roost. Thank you. We don't mention, no. Don't, you know. You're welcome. Don't mention. I would say... These reports doesn't shock anyone that have been following global events for a very long time now. Or all you just have to do is watch. First of all, step one, don't have a social life. Step two. Step one, don't have a social life. Step two, watch too many documentaries and you'll be like... Then the painful thing is you'll reach a point where there are not a lot of things that can shock you anymore. You know, like, what's shocking people in the West? Oh my God, Donald Trump is threatening to bomb, you know, to bomb Greenland. Really? That's new? Oh, yeah, that's new. Yeah, to you. Oh my God, this economic, you know, that's the Canadian Prime Minister's speech in a nutshell. The U.S. is using its economic power to basically bulldoze decisions through. And that's the same thing that's, you know, to bulldoze decisions through to its own economic advantage, to gain an upper hand in, you know, in economic discussions. That's the same thing that's also pointed out in the report. The question is that true? I mean, is that new? Yeah, to you guys, it is. To a lot of countries, no, it's not. For 30 plus years in the at the UN, a lot of countries have been voting. A lot of countries, except two, for 30 plus years, except two, that's the US and Israel, have been voting. They're just two countries that have been voting, I think, for, let's just be conservative and say, 20 plus years. Two countries have been voting against the removal of, economic embargo on Cuba. A hundred and something have been voting for the removal, and two have been voting for the non-removal of the embargo. And to this day, Cuba is still under economic embargo. Yeah. It's a crazy world we live in, people. It's a crazy world we live in. And we're talking about, you know, let's just cooperate. Really? Sure. Let's cooperate. So, the projections are simple. Because of the multipolarity that ever since the fall of the Soviet Union, 1989, 1990, the capitalism has basically decided to go like, have become the boss of the go-to economic model for a lot of countries that don't have the economic means to basically make their own unanimous decision with regards to the future of their, of their country's economy. But now with the rise of China, it's a,
you know, the rise of China have brought up the language of the use of the, you know, the frequent use of the word multipolarity, multipolar world, where it's not just everything, it's not just one guy making the decisions. It's also, you know, it's having a competitor that people are either coming to you. Like, for a very long time before the rise of China, people only had, like, the Western way of doing things. Now, China comes along and they have a strong military, they have a strong economy, they have they're basically a competitor at this point. So then the US realized, okay, hang on a second. People have an option now. If they can't come to me, they can go to China. Oh, man, seriously. Well, I miss the days that you were weak. And they were all coming to me, so I basically, you know, I was making all the decisions. They either had to go my way or the highway. Now they can either come to me or they can come to you. Now this whole thing is, you have taken up my power here, buddy, and it's not cool, not cool. You know, not cool. Now, to be fair, any country in US position right now would be behaving the exact same way. No one likes to lose power. Well, because why? Well, power is sweet. Because it comes with very nice things like iPhones, with two SIM cards, Mercedes Benz with, you know, with two engines, and titles like Honorable, which, that's it. I still have a problem with that title. Because if I'm calling you Honorable, what does that make me? Dishonorable? You're the one that lied to get in that office, all of a sudden I'm dishonorable? I don't get it. Maybe it's because I went to IE. There's nothing wrong with my English. And that brings us to the end of Home Run for today. Until tomorrow, same time, same place on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM, with yours truly here, Helmut. You all have a good evening.